Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
And it said something like this: Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That was the word you gave for somebody. Who was that for? A couple of people. Yes, definitely for all of us. Definitely for all of us. Is there somebody particularly is for you? Yeah, a couple of people. Put your hand up. Don't be embarrassed. I wasn't trying to do any more. Okay. Can I get some people to gather around you, and we're going to pray deliberately into that verse. So I'm going to read it again. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you. Do not pray law over them. Don't tell them what they have to do. Pray the blessing of the King of Heaven over them. So put your hand up again if you haven't got somebody with you. I'd like somebody to go and pray with you and release the blessing of God, not the law of the Old Testament, the blessing of God over them. So, Father, we just don't know every situation. We don't want to know. Well, you know. And, Father, you tell us through the word to be encouraged, to be strong, because you are with us. And so, my Father in heaven, I ask you to manifest your presence into people's lives. They would know the presence and strength of the living King of God over their lives, over their situation, whatever it may be. And we ask the blessing of heaven to be upon them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have you worked out yet we can pray law over people by telling them what they have to do, and it's not a very good fit? You didn't get any prayer, is that right? You still got your hand up, nobody prayed for you. You've got something you wanted to say. Sorry, I didn't catch that. Can somebody relay that? Okay. Well, Father, just stretch your hands towards her. And Father, again, for strength, the strength of the King of Heaven to be her portion. You are not stingy, Father, in giving. And so we ask for strength, resilience, and encouragement as your word proclaims. We stand on the truth of the word that's been proclaimed here this morning, and we ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Who requires some measure of healing in their body today? Who is? There's a couple of people, friend, a couple of people. Oh, not everybody. Oh, you're all sick. That's good. That's good. Keep your hand up if you need some prayer for healing. Sorry? Well, sinus to me isn't all that hot. Get up, church. Go and do something. Find somebody with their hand up. Come on. Don't sit there forever in church. You are a community of people. Find somebody that needs to be prayed for and pray healing upon them. Some over here as well. Just pray for people. There's one, two, three people would love, four people up here would love prayer for five. would love some prayer for healing. Can I ask somebody that's bold enough to go and to pray? Go and pray. And Father, just ask for strength for this guy. Sleepless night, working all night. Just pray for strength, wholeness, victory. And thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you go and pray for the corner in the guy in the corner? Thank you. Yeah, that's good. Thank you, guys. Pray for this guy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Keep your hand up if you haven't been prayed for yet. If you have been, take hold of it. Duck it in your chest and say, that's mine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Question is, if you got prayer for healing and you can feel a substantial difference, if you notice a difference, just put your hand up and let me know. If you can feel something has changed, just let me know. Hand up if you have seen. Okay, Brett, come and tell me what's happened, please. I don't have a microphone, so you're going to have to shout very loud into my lips. You felt?
I just feel the anointing just come and just bring healing, yeah.
Okay.
It's sort of.
I can feel the presence of God. Mm. Yeah, so it's just, yeah.
Thank you, Father. But just ask for more. There's more of you. Just ask for the continued filling of your spirit. Fill him up. Whatever it is, Lord, just completely lift it from his body. Thank you for the presence of the King of Heaven. And we just say more and more and more. Greater measure. Greater measure. Strengthen his hand, Lord. Whatever that issue is. Thank you, Father. Anybody else feel as though the Lord has touched them in some particular way? Can you? You can feel him touching people. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. You've got a crooked foot. And you didn't put your hand up. Hey, gotcha. Can we pray for your foot? That's all right. The ladies next to you are going to help us pray. Sorry, I've forgotten your name already. I'm sorry. Erica. Father, for Erica. And for this foot, we just speak healing into the bones, into the cartilage, into the structure of the foot where there's been damage. Well, there's been fight with a concrete step. We just, in Jesus' name, speak healing into the foot. Pain and restriction of movement to go in the name of Jesus. Amen? Erica, just try out that foot, see how it feels. Just try it out. See if it feels any different. Yes means I'm trying it, or yes means it feels a bit better. I'm not too sure which. Feels a bit better? A little bit better. Was there much pain there beforehand? Yeah, and the pain is a little bit less? Well, let's pray a bit more for you because I'd like to see that healed up before you go. So, Father, for Erica, she's come here to visit, so we ask for a gift for her today, a gift of the Spirit for healing. So we speak healing into the foot. Pain, leave in Jesus' name. Nerve endings, come into right order. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we thank you. We thank you. Amen. It's all good. Part of the body has to be ministering to each other. It's wonderful having somebody saying something wise and wonderful, but you have to minister to one another. That's part of the ministry of the kingdom of God. You have been called to minister to each other. And that may be in a whole series of ways. I remember the story of a young kid out back Australia after there'd been a prolonged drought. Been going for a while and started to rain and he started to scream in panic. He had never seen rain before. And he had no idea the rain was beneficial and was good. And this morning we spoke, we sang, Lord, let it rain. And for some in the churches at large have never experienced what happens when God comes with rain. It's using a metaphor, as it were, of rain to describe something that is the spiritual interaction between him and us. And for many, they have never experienced the drops of heaven upon them. Leslie told me about a guy she saw walking yesterday, and he had one of these earplugs in and he had it attached to whatever was making noise and music. And she said every so often he would burst out into a spontaneous song. You know what it's like when somebody sings to an earphone? It's always very flat. And she said every so often he would start singing something, but the point was he could hear the music but she couldn't. And at times people can hear the music of heaven and they will sing and others don't hear it and they don't. And see, the reality is that when God comes, he comes to put music upon us. Do you know in Zephaniah it says he sings over you? He sings over you songs of love. You think, well, that's pretty good. But that's his heart for you. See, his heart is to see you refreshed, renewed, revived, invigorated all the days of your life. In one sense, he expects us to be sloppy Christians. In the sense, we're overwhelmed with the water of heaven and walking in that. And so the obvious question to ask you is, who has a heart to see revival occur? Let's see some hands, just out of interest. Well, we're in the right place then, aren't we? There's that reality that when there's a knowing within us that we need more of him. That's, I think one of the songs said that. We want to know more. We want to see more of your glory. We want to see more of you. It's been down history. I want to know more, Lord. Why? Because you get it. I was sitting this morning preparing for this and I was sitting, it was quite early. I usually get up early on Sunday mornings when I'm preparing. Whole series of reasons, but one of them is I sit there and this was watching out the window, sitting on the floor. Can't quite cross my legs anymore, but I was as close as I could get to it, looking out the window, and you could just see from our house just these trees sticking up, and through the trees you could see a glimmer of the lake, Tugra Lakes. Just, you could just see it. There it is, just there. So we're now going to sell our house with water views because we've got, if you look at the right place at the right time, you can see the water. See, it's a bit like that in our spirit. It's like that in our spirit. We have a glimpse. We've seen and we've got a glimpse of what it's like when the Spirit of God comes and touches people. And it's not something that's stirred up. See, some of the revivals of this last century, it's amazing, we now talk about the last century, but some of the revivals of the last century were revivals that people did not expect to happen. God, in his grace, just went, I'm coming. You've been there. You experienced it. Where this guy was standing up, he came for a short conference on the weekend, 2 days, 3 days. Speak Friday night, Saturday, go home Sunday. And as he was speaking, the Spirit of God came and totally wrecked every plan of man because he came. See, there's something about desiring revival to come. It's another thing when you walk into it, there is a demand that comes and a blessing that comes that is beyond what you can expect. In another church in America, the guy, the pastor, he was absolutely sick and tired of Christians. He was a pastor. He didn't want to be in church anymore. And he was having morning tea with somebody for Father's Day service. And this visiting guy, the senior pastor said to this visiting guy, he said, "I don't want to preach tomorrow. It's Father's Day. I just don't want to speak. Would you do it?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, I suppose I'll speak." And the Spirit of God came in a major move that transformed that church and that city. See, there's something about, there needs to be a hunger, there needs to be something within that recognises that God is sovereign and he will come when he will come. But there also has to be the desire within your spirit to say, "Come, Lord Jesus." See, it's both. There is a sense where you need to, as it were, pull heaven down, knowing that heaven is in control. I was watching somebody. It's really wonderful when you sit by the window and watch outside, see some interesting things. And here was this guy taking his dog for a walk. Anybody else walk their dog? Yeah. Have you got a trained dog or not? Because this guy was walking down, and you could see he was walking, and the dog wanted to go there, and the guy went there. But there is a sense when the Lord God Almighty comes and he touches his people. We follow and he leads. See, as you look through Scripture, I'm going to get to the message eventually. Maybe not. But see, when you look through Scripture, you see in Scripture this beautiful revelation of what God has planned for you and for me. See, he didn't design us to live in the gutter. He designed us to live as kings in the kingdom. His design for you was to be royalty. And there's this beautiful picture that comes out through Scripture. And have you ever seen, you know, there's a couple of artists in the room. You call them artists, do you, Mandy, or are they something else? That's a good word, artists or painters, or painters paint houses, don't they? That's right. Artists paint pictures. Have you ever seen some of these paintings? And they have this scenery and all the colours are muted. And so it's really quiet, it's almost dark in the sense you can hardly see into the picture. You've seen those things? Whereas if you look at a pro heart, and you see these splashes of colour. You see this dynamic of brilliance, of colours, very similar to what we see around the walls here, of something that just is not muted, is so plain. And when we go from the Old into the New Testament, in the Old we see the muted, we see the inferred, we see the possible. And as we go into the New, we see the revelation. We see the fullness. We see Jesus. Let me just take you through a couple of verses of Isaiah. I'll show you what you mean. You don't need to look them up, otherwise you'll be going on forever. So just listen up as I read some verses. See, when you go through, for example, Isaiah, it's like having this, somebody has got this thread of gold and just twined it through Isaiah. So if you follow that thread, you'll get brighter and brighter as you go on. And so in Isaiah 11, it says this: "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from the root a branch will bear fruit." That speaks to me of my front yard. I had a tree cut down, a little stump left in the ground, and every so often I have to go to that stump and kick off the new shoots because I don't want that tree. That tree will grow and it will produce figs that drop on the ground and make a mess. Here, the prophet starts off by promising a tree, a fruitful branch will come from a stump. Generally, you think of a stump as lifeless, true? Out of this stump was going to come something special. And if you go on and read it, it'll say in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord, oh, that's interesting. It's talking about a person. The branch is about a person. It's muted, but it's there. It's a person. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel, of power, of knowledge, of the fear of the Lord. You talked about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord will rest on him. There's this picture of what's going to happen. If we go a bit further in Isaiah 35, I've got the mark so I can do it really quickly, so don't get worried. Isaiah 35, the desert and the parched land will be glad. Anybody worked out yet that this land is now parched? I went up to Wollombi the other day and I didn't realise there was a major bushfire burning up there at Wollombi. I was there got there at 6 and got home at 3, fighting this fire at Wollombi, still going. Heaton's Lookout, you know where Heaton's Lookout is? You don't know where Heaton's Lookout is? It's just up the road. It's on fire. They can't put it out. It's amazing. And here, the desert and the parched land will be glad. It talks about, have you ever seen your front lawn? Once the rain comes, what happens to the front lawn? Brog, it's gone. It's the nutrients from the rain just brings it back into life. It goes on here and says, the wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Go down to verse 5. Strengthen feeble hands. I tell you what, if there's discouragement, go to the passage. When the Spirit of God comes, there'll be strengthening of the feeble hands and of the weak knees. You feel a bit weak, bit stressed today, you feel as though life's getting on top of you, good news. Jesus has come, and he's come to give strength. And it goes on a bit further and says, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. These people had every right to be afraid because of what was occurring politically, locally, nationally, they had every reason to be afraid. Your God will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. Then, I love this, then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Can you have people hearing that prophecy and saying, what's that mean? It's going to happen. What's that mean? What do you mean, Isaiah? People's blind eyes open, that doesn't happen. Ears unstopped, that's not going to happen. There's something in there that is clouded but is so plain because we're looking back at it. And every time I go to another passage here in Isaiah, it's just getting brighter and brighter. Hey, am I connecting with anybody here yet? It's getting brighter and brighter. There's something about Isaiah's writing that is becoming, it's not muted painting anymore, it's becoming clearer and clearer that something good is coming. In Isaiah 42, verse 1, we're starting there. Here is my servant. Now this one is called the servant, the chosen one. I will put my spirit on him and he'll bring justice to the nations. That is the mark of the presence of the Spirit of God on a person, that they'll work to bring justice to the nations. If you see people in your city working to bring justice to the downtrodden, you see an image of the kingdom of heaven. It means if your heart weeps because of the broken and the destitute, it means the Spirit of God is touching your life with something deeper. Because it's the heart of your Father. Isaiah 42 goes on a bit further. It says down a little bit further. Where is it? It's here somewhere. I'm getting all teary. I can't read. Sorry. Isaiah 42, it says this. Turn over to 6. No, you're not following it, so don't turn over. It says, verse 6, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, so I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. See, the revelation is this one that is coming is one that is going to bring light to those in darkness. You know, when you look at Isaiah, when you look at what he's doing, what he's saying, you can see that he is ushering in, as it were, hope of a new age to come. And the good news is you are living in that new age. The reality is that you are the benefactors of that new age. And so in Isaiah 61, the next one where it says this is Isaiah writing, and you know who he's writing about. I don't have to tell you. You've been around long enough to know. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. The other night when I was out at this fire, what you do with a fire, if it's a wildfire, what you do is you contain it. So the fire's just there. You're in the middle of the fire. Okay, the fire's just there. And what you do, you actually contain it by actually ringing it right around and with burnt land. And then you go in the middle of the fire and you bomb it to get it to blow out and burn itself out so there's no more fuel. And so in the middle of the night, here we are, back burning is the expression that most people would use. And here you have a torch. It's a torch that's about that long with a big container on the bottom. It's full of diesel and unleaded petrol and diesel mixture. And as you get it in the middle, it's wonderful at night time. It's just like fireworks. And you light it up and you start moving it around and you have all these little droplets of diesel and petrol going into the bush. And what was at once is dark suddenly becomes light. A lot of heat too, but becomes light. And you see all these little spots in the bush all joining up together. And see, that is the purpose and heart of the Father in heaven. Just to put just the oil of his Spirit on his people. And to bring into them light, strength, encouragement, power. And he says it's not good for a man to be by himself. And he puts it on them to cause a fire. And then he moves and suddenly he pours out his Spirit on a man. And there's another small spot of fire. And one by one those spots join until there's a bushfire. I love doing that at night time in the bush. I went to Toronto and I asked for a prophetic word. They said, you're a fire starter. And I love it. But I love it when people see the muted colour of the Old Testament of the promised Jesus, the man of the Spirit. And they step into the New Testament and said, Jesus was that man. I love it. Because you know what happens when somebody catches on fire? They won't go out. And they spread the fire. Have I preached enough yet? Am I done yet? Not sure. Not sure. See, I think there's a lot of stuff here I was going to talk about, and I think it's important, but maybe it's not today. But when you look at the New Testament, let me take Matthew. My son's partner, she's an author, and she's one of the top 10 sellers in Amazon on books, so obviously she must be pretty good. And I don't think she's ever started a book with a family tree. But the first part of Matthew takes pains to prove that this Jesus was the branch that came from the stump of Jesse. Why did he give a family tree? Because he said, this one is the promised one. It was muted in Isaiah, now light has come. And so in Matthew 1, I think it's verse 6 and verse 16, it says, and Jesse was the son of David. Da, da, da. And David, right down the line, came to Jesus. See, when we look at the Gospels, we look at those as historical records, but it's more than that. We find that the Spirit of God is using that text to prove, to shine, to exalt, to demonstrate that Jesus is the one who was promised. You said, I know that, Ray. Let me get it into your spirit. That everything was spoken in the old, in the new. Let me turn to Luke 4. Turn to Luke 4 with me. Okay, you're going to have to do some work. We'll make the meeting... We'll make the meeting legal. We'll read a scripture together. Luke chapter 3, actually. Luke chapter 3. One of the things he said in Isaiah 42 is he said he would call his servant my beloved. And I love him. And here in Luke chapter 3, he also said he would be a man of the Spirit. And here we have this historical record, but when you look behind the covers of the historical record, it says this: when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and as he was praying, heavens were opened, the Holy Spirit came on him, the man of the Spirit, and a voice from heaven said, you are my son whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. And so I could go on. And as we look in that New Testament era, we find that the authors of the Gospels, led by the Holy Spirit, were showing, were validating, were proving, were showing the fulfillment of that muted colour. And now we have the pro-heart work in all its splendour and colour. Here is Jesus. He's the one. He is the promised one. He's the eternal one. How many people want revival and renewal? You know, I remember when renewal hit, people were getting home at night till about 1 or 2 o'clock at night. Who wants renewal and revival? Because when the Spirit comes, there's suddenly something within you says, I'm home. Can I be honest as I honestly can be today and say my whole being resists revival because I know its cost? Is that okay to say that? But on the other hand, I desire it. For what reason? Because we need it. And how do we get revival? It's not by might, nor by power. It's by that sovereign visitation of my Spirit, says the Lord. Time's gone. I'm going to finish by saying this. Renewal, revival, it really has to be a personal thing, starting with you as first. My dearest wife will tell me that quite regularly, that it starts with me. No, she won't. She's, sorry, sweetheart, I didn't mean to pick on you. She's good for me. Each person here, can I read these scriptures for you? John 1:33, where John says, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John 7:37, Jesus gives the invitation to you, to me. Come if you're thirsty and drink. Now, it's interesting with dehydration. I've learnt in the bushfire brigade that you don't know you're dehydrated until it's too late. I think anybody with a bit of medical knowledge will know the best way to actually discover dehydration is when you go to the loo. But when you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated. And sometimes, as a body of people, we get dehydrated and we don't see the signs. A bit of rambling today, but I'll say this. I said to Anthony, I don't know where I'm going to finish up, but I do know now. Today, there's an invitation for you and for puppy dogs. To come again to him who gives the water of life. Guess what, folks? I do not have it, but I know the one that does. Guess what, folks? I need it just as much as you. But I'm happy to stand with you and facilitate asking the Lord to fill you with his Spirit. Why? Because we're sometimes so damn dry, we don't know it. And we need him to fill us, to renew us, to energize us, to give us vision, to give us hope, to give us encouragement, and it comes from one place, and that's the residence of the Spirit of God in you. Amen. Can we turn that off? Quickly, before I put it in my pocket. So the invitation this morning is very simple. If you'd like the Lord just to touch you again and to fill you up, then there's the opportunity to come and get prayer. What does that look like for you? I don't know. Are you going to have to do something very specific when you get prayed for? I don't know. I do know this, that if you come asking him to fill and to refresh, he will do it. Why? Because he's good at his word. And so, you guys, Anthony, believe.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.